Welcome to The Worst Week Yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we drive past the United Flight 93 Memorial in Somerset, Pennsylvania, and we thank God that Mark Wahlberg was on at least one of those planes. I'm your host, Andrew Hiller. And it is just me and Kennedy Cooper this week. That's right.
Whoa.
That's right. Deanna, she's out of town or busy or something. Nobody knows.
Is presumed to be under her own recognizance.
We sent her undercover. That's it.
And not in danger at this time.
Deanna's fine, but the deep state that she is currently infiltrating might not survive. Deanna's QAnon. Yeah, it's just me and Kennedy today. Kennedy, how are you doing?
You know, I'm doing okay. I'm actually doing pretty good overall, but, you know, there's always ups and downs in this dystopia we call Marinky Dink Do or whatever.
I was in a
Kerplink or Plonk or whatever. Trying to do that bit.
It's a good bit that neither of us know.
There we go.
Live, laugh, love, soldier, tinker, spy. Well, that's good. I'm glad you had some ups to go with your downs.
I've
been having a lot of downs lately, but I had one big up this week. Friday, I drove down to Baltimore to see former guest Megan Graves record her comedy special. I got to see Bria Badu. I got to see Andy Basto. The show was Oh, and Niles Abson, also former guest. So many Worst Week Yet alums on that show it was so great. It was such a good show.
How did you know they were all going to be there?
Well, they've been advertising it for Megan. Been advertising her special for quite some time.
Oh, I was hoping you had a crystal ball.
Oh, well, I do. Well, I have I have a glass ball. Look, they're way cheaper, and you can see some stuff, but it's very vague. You know, like it doesn't tell you the future. It tells you like the weather for the next hour. It tells you if it's currently raining outside or not. It's basically a window, but it's Yeah. And when
I'm pondering my window.
Yeah, it is an orb. Yeah. It is orb shaped. It's a porthole. Ooh. I'm going on the submarine. We were talking about this the other day. I feel like the submersible, that came and went too fast. I feel like it did get a little overdone in the moment, but I feel like nobody is talking about the submersible anymore. And frankly, I miss the submersible.
Yeah, I feel I miss the submersible. I think that there's still a lot of material there, although, you know, you will get banned from Twitter if you do go down the path of continuing to find that material. Maybe that's why people stop talking about it, is because one of the funniest people on Twitter who was posting about the submersible and went viral several times posting about the submersible is now banned. Maybe that has something to do with it.
All right. We need to reinstate your account. We need to bring back the submersible. We need to resurface your account. Send out the Coast Guard to find your Twitter. Also, on Friday, I did something that I don't normally do on Friday. So I drove down to Baltimore for the show. And as soon as I got there, it was like, you know, there was a lot of traffic. I was in the car for like 5 hours. I was like kind of miserable. As soon as I got there, my friend was like, hey, do you want some acid? And I was like, sure. And
hell yeah, dude.
Really changed the trajectory of my night.
No kidding.
I went from like, I can't wait to see all my friends and like meet all these internet people to being like, I'm scared that people can see me.
Have you ever done acid before?
I've done it a few times, yeah. It's been a couple years, but it's just like one of those things that like I know I'm not usually like a drugs person, but like I was in that mind space of like I'm just gonna take this night how it comes, because like, you know, there's comedy special, there's an after party, you know, that kind of I'm just gonna go with the flow. And somebody's like, boom, do you want acid? I was like, yeah, fuck it. Didn't second guess it at all. Probably should have.
No, I think you made the right choice.
It, you know, the comedy special itself was really fun. I think that was good for that experience. But there was like an hour before where we were like sitting outside talking and I was just like, ugh. And then, and then after like most of the after party, I was like real antisocial feeling. I was just in my head and I was the ceiling at the place with the after party looked so cool. And it, like, I was just staring. There's like a DJ playing house music. I'm like, look at that fucking mural, dude.
Honestly, that's a vibe though.
Yeah. Also the one, the
weird vibe, but you know.
Yeah, no, for sure. I was just the guy at the party on acid. And you never want to be that guy, but you know, sometimes you got to be that guy. Somebody's got to do it. what the fuck? Oh, my only complaint, the special was amazing. All the comedians did such a good job. Megan fucking crushed it. My only complaint is because it was being filmed, there was a person with a camera going like up and down the rows in the audience. So like, and I was sitting on the end. So like every few moments, a camera would just go like real close to me. And that is not a fun feeling on acid. Like trying to not look crazy.
You're like, the machine is gonna fucking suck my soul out of my fucking face, dude.
I got a little too distracted by the handy cam grip thing that this I was like, this thing is a fucking gyroscope, man. But overall, good experience. We went to some crazy diner afterwards. It was a fun time. I ate eggs. You ever have eggs, Kennedy?
You know, I have had eggs before, and I had some eggs this week, and I liked them a lot. By the way, folks, if you heard that laughter, it's because we have a live studio audience. My partner, Christina, is here.
What's up?
Christina's the partner that's not online, like, at all.
I'm actually the show's biggest fan because I'm forced to hear it every week.
Yeah, Christina hears it almost every week.
Well, I'm glad you're hearing it now, and I'm glad you're here with us. Also, do you have a microphone? I thought you were like off to the side, but you sound great.
So I have two microphones running through a mixer, and then that mixer goes into my computer. It's pretty sophisticated.
AKA, I am Second Kennedy.
Hell yeah. A Second Kennedy has just hit the tower. Well, fuck yeah. That's great. Yeah. So I had a good time. That's my weekend. And you know what? I hope, listeners, that you're having a great Monday too. I hope your next weekend is great.
I didn't do any hard drugs, but I had to deal with my parents.
Were they on acid?
And no, but that might have helped. dealing with them is always kind of weird. And they wanted to go to the dispensary. And I was like, okay, but you got to buy me some weed. And we just so happened to go to this dispensary that has a deal going right now where if you get 7 grams of wax, it's like a pretty good price.
Okay.
So I just have so much of this Gorilla Glue.
Oh,
it's like
fuck.
A lot.
For the listeners at home, it looks, I don't know if it, like a, it, it looks, it's a substantial amount. I don't know how to tell if wax is good or not by looking at it.
Pretty good.
Hell yeah.
But I was just like, I just somehow swindled my mom into buying that for me. I was like, hey, buy me 7 grams of wax.
Nice. Are they fucking with the wax or they're older folks? I'm assuming they're still on the flower.
They're more flower. My dad doesn't even do much these days except for like low dose edibles sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He's just been cutting back because he has a stressful job. I'm not going to get into all that. But, and then my mom mostly does flower, but you know what she does? She makes moon rocks.
What is moon
which is
rocks?
Where you take bud and you roll it in some wax
and
coat it in wax, and then you roll it in keef while the wax is sticky or hash, either one.
Oh. Oh dear God!
And then you smoke the resulting thing that you have created.
I feel like I feel like people hear heard the phrase "you can't overdose on weed" and we're like, that sounds like a challenge. Like that's so
I have
intense.
Done the math. Have you done the math though?
No,
on weed overdose is pretty insane.
Kennedy, what? me do math? What kind of show do
you think? Yeah, you know. Wait, what am I saying? I'm betraying the values of this show.
The Worst Week Yet podcast would like to officially state that the views expressed by Kennedy T. Cooper on the subject of mathematics are not reflective of who we are as a podcast.
I would like to issue a retraction and an apology.
How do you get a notes app into an audio medium? Okay.
Hold on. Wait. Math? Let me go get my ukulele.
Fuck yeah. Well, hey, folks, we're going to get to the news here. But before we do that, just want to take a quick moment and let you know that we got a little baby Patreon. That's right. If you like this show, if you want to support us, you can head on over to patreon.com/worstweekyet, where you will find semi-regular bonus content. Most podcasts say you get a bonus episode every week. We're not like that, okay? We are worse. shit. Anyways, patreon.com/worstweekyet. If you can sign up for as little as $2.50 a month to get access to the bonus stuff. I'll send you some stickers at $5 a month. But if you give $10 a month, we say your names. So just want to give a big shout out to You Fuck Like My Dad, Chauncey Anders, Terminally Online Leftist, Zap Actions Downer, Andrea Humphrey, Goblin Mode, Optimus Crime, Darren is Awesome, The Man in the West, Nandy Angelus, Josh Troopin, Nick Adams, parentheses Alpha Male, AJ from Baltimore, Idnix, Dracula 206, Brienne, and
UFO Spaghetti.
UFO Spaghetti. It's actually UAP Spaghetti now. Yeah, thanks, Obama.
I thought it was UHF was the Weird Al movie.
UHF Weird Al. Patreon.com/worstweekyet. Okay, Kennedy.
Hey, but seriously, thank you, patrons. You make the show possible.
Yeah.
By which I mean I have to be high to do this.
Patrons, you make it harder for me to be like, fuck this, I never want to do this again. So thank you very much. Kennedy, Christina, we've got a problem.
A problem?
Well, when I say we, I mean former future President Donald Trump has a problem. I don't know if you saw the news, but Donald Trump has been indicted again. Again. Donald Trump was indicted this week for the third time. You know what they say, third time's the charm. And this one...
Wrong.
Yeah. Well, of the indictments so far, this is the one... This is the serious one. Yeah. The other... This isn't the Georgia one, which is also pretty serious, but this isn't like, oh, you lied on a campaign finance thing. This isn't you had a box in a bathroom... This is, let me see, there are three charges in this indictment. One is defrauding the United States. The second is obstructing an official proceeding. And the third is denying citizens a right to a free election.
Wait, is it defrauding the United States just worth 100 points? Is that just normal?
Yeah, I thought.
Well, it depends how you do it. if you do it right, you just get to be the richest person for a little bit. Like, if you... Yeah. You gotta thread the needle with defrauding the United States.
Sorry, it's worth 100 billion points, not 100 points. That's too low.
You know, it's cooler than 100 points.
You know, it's bigger than one thing, billion thing.
And please welcome our guest, Justin Timberlake.
I just want to say, you know, I'm not holding that too much hope yet. Because the system's so corrupt that just it's hard to be hopeful. But the judge that's doing the sentencing this time is not a friend of Donald Trump. You may remember we've talked about some of these past sentences. Some of these cases have been presided over by people that are buddy-buddy with Donald Trump to some extent.
Yeah, the documents case specifically in Florida, that's like a Trump-appointed judge who I was reading something that she like has... been found to mishandle cases in the past that like aren't of her friends who put them into federal judgeship role. So don't have high hopes for that one. Alvin Bragg in New York with the Stormy Daniels. That's like it's fucking obviously it's a crime, but like, come on, that's everybody's doing that shit when they run for office paying hush money. Like nothing's going to come from that. This
judge does not like Donald Trump.
No.
And she explicitly said, and this almost feels like a TV show, or maybe I just feel that way because I've been watching Jury Duty on Amazon Prime. which is really, really good. Have you seen that?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, dude, it's so funny.
Is it a scripted TV show, or are we talking some kind of reality?
Basically, it's a mixture of improv and
reality
TV.
Whoa.
And it's almost like a Nathan Fielder type thing in a way.
Ooh. Okay.
The concept, and I'm not spoiling anything because they tell you this in the opening segment, okay, so that you know what's going on, is that everybody that's there is a trained improv actor except for one guy who thinks that the court case is real.
Oh my God. What?
And he's like the nicest guy that they picked for this. He's like such a sweet, genuine, just a regular dude, just a good dude. I hope he doesn't get milkshake ducks so bad. He's so nice. And he's just getting fucked with. They are just.
So they're going through like the whole process of a trial, and everybody except for one guy is like completely like keeping up the facade that it's a real thing.
And they're just fucking. He thinks it's real too, but they're just fucking with him, basically, you know?
Right. But everybody like, but the guy knows that it's not real, but the one guy thinks it's, oh my God.
Yeah. And one of his character is James Marsden playing himself.
Like he got summoned for jury duty?
Yes. Yeah. And he tries to get out of it on all this stuff. And he keeps.
That fucking rules.
The guy, he says some of the funniest shit I've ever heard in a TV show, pretty much. In the first episode, this was one of the things that hooked me. He has this line where he's like, I'm kind of want to get out of this jury duty thing. I'm auditioning for a movie. It's with a really prestigious director who I'd love to work with. He's a little problematic, but he hasn't been Me Too'd yet. I was just dying. Like,
that fucking rules. Okay, I'm sold. I'm going to check out Jury Duty for sure. So anyways, Donald Trump, that's way less fun to talk about, but yeah, the prosecutor, Jack Smith, he's being like really aggressive in trying to pursue this. Like they're going to do everything they can to make this as speedy as of a trial as possible. Which, I mean, better late than never. Like it's good that I guess he's only been involved for like a year, like because Merrick Garland didn't originally want to pursue charges. And so Joe Biden just kind of like, treaded water for too long. Like this should have happened like immediately upon Joe Biden being in office, but
yeah, for sure. Ridiculous. I remember what I was saying, why I brought up jury duty though, is because this statement from the judge in this moment felt almost like something out of like a TV show to me, in a way, but in a fun and good way, where in one of the trial, because she's convicted some of the Jan 6 folks. She's presided over some of those trials. And at one of the trials, somebody that she was convicting asked her, why are you picking on all of us? Why aren't you going for any of the people that were in charge of all of this, basically? And she was like, there might be something in the works there, basically.
Hell yeah.
So I'm interested to see where that goes.
Yeah, I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, all presidents are criminals, but, like, Donald Trump technically kind of did a treason, so, like, I don't know. Like, if...
Also, this is important, I think, to an extent, because, first of all, we just need to pick some president and convict them of a crime.
Yeah.
Like, we just have to pick one and do it. I'm fine with it being Trump. There's way too much thinking about what if it's from this party? What if it's I don't care, but Trump is in the crosshairs. Let's do it.
Yeah.
If you want to convict Joe Biden next, great.
Fucking be my guest. Yes, please.
Fucking be my guest for real.
I will testify. I don't know what I have to offer, but I'm willing to help.
Joe Biden owes me money.
Joe Biden said he was going to give me $2,000. He sent me $1,400, and then he told me it was fine. Jack, I've done so many push-ups, Your Honor.
You know, I think you had a compelling case. So
we need a gavel. We probably don't.
So I think, first of all, just convict any president, any former president of a crime. You could pick any of them that are currently living.
I'm fine they with all, it. Yeah.
You got options for any of them to convict them of a crime. You can convict Bill Clinton of crimes. You can convict
George Bush.
George Bush of crimes. You can convict Barack Obama of crimes. So, you know, take your pick. But Donald Trump's in the crosshairs right now. So let's go for it, is my opinion on that front. And let's set a precedent that, yes, in fact, we do convict American presidents of crimes if they've committed them.
Did you hear anything about Donald Trump's proposed defense? Like what they're going to try and run with as his defense for this?
No.
You might be shocked. Free speech. His lawyers are going to argue that because he's an American citizen, it was his right to say that the election was stolen and to lie about voter fraud and to lie to the American people, which, you know, isn't how free speech works. Like you can't.
Great.
You can't say something like that. You can't scream fire in a crowded theater. Like, you know, there are limits to free speech. But the thing is that really, really dumb people don't understand how free speech works. So in the court of public opinion, this will only embolden him. Like, if this trial does not get... if this doesn't end by the time there's an election, he's going to win. Like because he'll be able to motivate so many people by
calling y'all better be moving and convicting this guy and putting him in jail fast.
But
anything else is just a mess. But I think it is also important because the Republicans have been hinting at overthrowing the democratic process in this country for a while.
Yeah.
George Bush talked about suspending elections because of the need to preside over wartime. And there was a lot of pushback against it, but he still floated the idea before he left office.
Donald Trump also floated that idea at some point during COVID, saying that maybe there shouldn't be an election or something. But to be fair, he floated many different ideas. He was just kind of throwing shit at the wall.
There have been other Republicans before them to float this idea at various levels of federal government. And so, you know, I think if we don't push back hard against this, they are going to do that in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, does that sound good? I don't think so.
No, I'm not a huge fan. I'm not a huge fan. But, you know... At least they're trying something. What is the Democrats? Joe Biden has this week been ramping up his merch store, which now features a lot of Dark Brandon products. That's where Joe Biden's at. He released a campaign ad of him drinking coffee out of a Dark Brandon mug. It's like, this is okay. Yeah, sure. You're doing great, buddy. Thanks, Joe Brandon. Jim Bronson. Yeah, but anyways, it's good to see hopefully some
Let's
shoes
not
dropping.
Talk about Jim Bronson anymore. Just kidding. I'm sure he'll come up again.
He will, but not now. We're going to stay in the world of legal troubles for our next story because this is actually a bit of an update.
Is another member of the Fugees in trouble?
No, it's this week.
The Fugees rocked by third legal scandal in one tax year.
Sir, another plane has just hit the Fugees. Anyways, this week, a wanted criminal, a criminal mastermind, if you will, has finally been caught after more than a year-long crime spree in Lake Tahoe. Of course, I am talking about the 500-pound black bear named Hank the Tank, who for a year straight has just been terrorizing people's, you know, just people just trying to have a house in the bear's neighborhood in Lake Tahoe. Hank's just been walking in and eating shit, which is like kind of just what bears do. Sorry.
If a 500, just imagine you're having a barbecue, a 500-pound bear walks up and just starts demanding your barbecue. It's over. Your barbecue's over.
You're not being like, hey, were you invited? Like, who invited the bear? We did not get enough hot dogs for this bear, dude. That's how people in Lake Tahoe talk. But yeah.
So how many hot dogs do you think Hank the Tank could put down? Like 150 probably.
Here's the thing. I don't even know, but I would love to watch him compete next year at the July. Or
wait,
her.
Let's see. Hold
her.
On.
Sorry. Hank the Tank is
Hank
bear.
The Tank. Ooh.
Yeah, she's a mama bear.
That's awesome.
What's the July 4th, like Nathan's hot dog eating contest? Like the one.
Yeah,
the
hot
one
dog.
Joey Chestnut, he wins it every year.
Record.
Invite Hank the Tank next year. Let's make this fucking interesting.
62 hot dogs. Okay, then in that case, I think that's terrifying,
three
by the way.
Times that
I think Hank the Tank could probably put down 200 hot dogs.
And I would love to watch it. I want to see this happen.
Like, I'm just saying, if Hank the Tank rolled up hungry, maybe just got up from a little nappy do, hasn't eaten in a couple days, I feel like she could put down 200 hot dogs. That is my personal belief that I will not waver from.
That's my kind of party, honestly. Yeah, so this week.
So at that point, your barbecue's fucked, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm just trying to put the reason I'm doing this mental exercise is try to put in perspective, like, if Hank the Tank rolls up to your family party, is anything even left afterwards? My feeling is no. Like, I feel like there's just like some shredded paper plates, broken beer bottles and shit.
I feel like, well, Hank the Tank and bears in general are very, very conservative. So they're not going to drink any of the Bud Lights. The Bud Lights will be fine. Bears don't fuck with gay beers. That's probably not true. I don't know anything about bears' stance on on the LGBTQ
bears
community.
Are gay is a little problematic.
Look, I've dug a hole and I can't reach the top. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep digging.
Next, you'll be saying twinks aren't gay.
And if Joe Biden wins a second term, no twinks will be gay.
Straight twinks. Straight in 2024. Twinks. Yep.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, so the California Fish and Wildlife Department caught Hank the Tank. She's going to be transported to a sanctuary, or a.k.a. bear jail. But, you know, she had a good run.
Fucked up.
She had a good run, you know.
That's the fuck. You know what? I hope Hank the Tank breaks out.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too.
You containing a 500-pound bear that's already used to doing what it wants ain't going to be easy. All right?
Well,
whatever normal safety measures have worked for other bears may not work on Hank. Just saying.
Well, Kennedy, our next story might give you a little bit of hope in that department because...
Wait, can you hit the I gotta steal the declaration?
Of course I can fucking hit that button. Are you kidding me?
I'm gonna steal the Declaration of Independence.
Hank the Tank is in National Treasure 3.
National Treasure 3 is about Hank the Tank's escape.
Well, speaking of animals breaking out of confines, this week a rodeo bull in Utah broke free from the pen and then trampled the lieutenant governor of Utah's mother and brother. They were doing like a rodeo and like this bull was like going buck wild and it knocked the rider off and then it just like kicked open the gate and then just started like rampaging through the parking lot. And it just so happened that the only two people that were hurt were family members of the lieutenant governor.
Wow.
So Hank the Tank, it's not impossible. They try and put you in this cage. You can get out if where there's a will, there's a way. And hopefully there's a lieutenant governor nearby.
Yeah, Hank the Tank, please. Please maul lieutenant governor.
Anyone. I don't even care at this point.
Don't care which one.
We want both Democratic presidents, Democratic and Republican presidents to be prosecuted. We want both Democratic and Republican lieutenant governors to be gored by bulls. or ripped to shreds by bears. Yeah, so... I don't know. I like animals doing animal shit. Like what? When you think about the concept of rodeos, it's real fucked up. Like I get that it's like tradition. People like seeing that, but like the concept of a rodeo is like, let's get a fucking big ass bull really mad and then watch him thrash about. Like, come on, man, leave him alone. What's it gonna do? I was driving on the highway yesterday and I saw some baby cows who were so cute.
Cows are so sweet.
Yeah.
They're like fun and personable.
Yeah. And they don't deserve to be driven crazy and then thrashed about for our entertainment.
It's bad enough that we got to eat some of them, but like, don't torture them.
Do you understand how big a 10-gallon hat would be? That's another thing I was thinking about the other day. Like, I've heard things referred to as a 10-gallon hat. There's no way. Because, like, a 5-gallon bucket is already real big. A 10-gallon hat? No fucking way. Get out of here.
Now listen here, Jack. Back in my day.
It's just, it would go over your shoulders. How are you even wearing a 10-gallon hat unless it's really tall? And then you're just going to tip over. Nobody could pull that off. I don't understand.
What if you're a short king looking to impress a tall lady?
How tall are you? I'm 6'8" if you include my hat.
I'm 7'9".
Sorry,
I'm
babe.
8'14".
Sorry, babe. The hat stays on during sex. Yeah, 8'14" is intense. That's a wild number. I'm not doing the math, but that sounds like a lot. Did you see that show I'm a Virgo on I think it was on Amazon Prime. It was made by Boots Riley.
Who watched that?
I did. And here's the thing.
I know. Somebody watched that I know.
But yeah, the premise of the show is that somebody's just born a giant and then he's like 14 feet tall, I think. And, you know, hijinks ensue. It's a pretty good show. There's a lot of like really cool anti-capitalist shit in there. Boots Riley fucking rules.
I like that Boots Riley was just like, what if a guy got big?
It works. It works.
Friends keep getting larger and no one is talking about this. Boots Riley is finally brave enough to say something.
I also
have you seen Donald Trump's youngest son?
He was in the show.
He's one of the cousins of the giant.
Yeah, yeah. I also watched the Twisted Metal show on Peacock, and I hate to say this, but it was fucking dope. It was a good show, which it shouldn't have been. There's no
okay.
It was just like a cartoon, but like in live action. Like everything. Every line that was delivered was so over the top that it was like past the point of like corny for an effect and more just into the world of like, no, this is like wacky. This is what it is. And there was also a sex scene in a ball pit, which I've never seen that before. And it gave me some ideas. More just that I think it would maybe be fun. I don't know. It's hard to like really imagine what the reality of sex in a ball pit would be like. But, you know, if I ever had, you have to have your own ball pit. You're not using somebody else's ball pit. You ain't banging in the community ball pit.
No, that's not sanitary.
Yeah, and nobody wants that. But, you know, it's something to think. Listeners, think it over. okay.
More people should have a personal ball pit.
Everybody should. Joe Biden, forget about the $600 you owe me. Just give me a ball pit.
Yeah, just send me about 800 little plastic balls.
That's all. It's not
something
so
to
much
hold
to ask.
Them in. Something to hold them in. I don't know.
You know what?
Exactly.
I've got my own pit. You just need to send me the
maybe
balls.
An old hot tub. It doesn't work anymore. I'm not too picky.
Figure it out. Okay, so that's all the animal news we've got for now. I want to move on to our next
no
story.
No more animal news?
No more animal news yet.
Okay, I'm out. Bye, listeners.
Only here for the animal memes.
Well, this is, I guess you could say it's wild. It's not. It's boring.
Okay, all right. Hello, listeners. It's Kennedy T. Cooper here.
So this week, the ratings agency called Fitch downgraded the United States' credit rating from AAA down to AA+, which
wow. No.
It feels like it should
be. If you're AA+, you might as well just not come to school tomorrow.
Yeah, you are not you are not leasing a 2023 Subaru hatchback with double A plus credit rating. Are you kidding me?
Those are like the ittiest, bittiest titties.
Yeah, so I don't know what this really means, because like it does feel like going from AAA to still double A plus, like that probably doesn't mean anything. Like it doesn't sound like it means enough. I don't know, like what I can't figure out this scale enough to understand how big of a deal this is, but like
they're always making these scales that are like they're like meant to suck everybody off, and so like this, like there really is no like bad rating. Basically, almost it's like the bad rating is like needs improvement. See me after class or something.
like there should have been like what I don't understand why there's multiples of A's and pluses involved. Like it goes from AAA to double A plus.
Cut this plus shit. It's either AAA or double A.
Or even
fuck
double
you.
A and a half. Can you get a half A?
No, we're not doing that. No, not going there.
Yeah. I don't understand it. It seems like it's one of those things that might mean something, but I don't fucking know. I know a lot of people were talking about it in news articles that I skimmed as I was scrolling past them. So I assume that it means something, but what it does mean? Well, listeners, that's a mystery that will not be solved today.
Absolutely nothing.
There it is. A mystery that will be solved today is let's talk about another there's been a lot of buzz about Barbenheimer. You know, people talking about these are some of the greatest movies of the year, but let's talk about another movie that has been taking this country by storm. And of course, I'm talking about The Sound of Freedom. That's
Let's go, baby.
The movie made for and by QAnon people that actually apparently doesn't really reference QAnon at all. It's just like, I guess that they're like, well, you get it. Like that's the message to the audience. Like we're showing you something happening with like a drug cartel in Colombia smuggling people, but like you know that it's also really the Democrats and your neighbors. But the reason I wanted to talk about this movie, so The Sound of Freedom was partially crowdfunded. They told everybody on the internet like we're gonna make a movie about child trafficking to fight back against the evil Democratic cabal. Blah 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 blah. It came out this week that one of the people who was a funder of Sound of Freedom has been arrested for kidnapping a child.
Wow.
Who would have thought that people that funded the anti-child trafficking movie would then be like, but it's what if we do it? That's the problem. It's not that child trafficking is bad. It's that the Democrats get to have all the fun.
Pedocon theory gets confirmed every single day, folks.
Yeah, now, unfortunately, like, the police didn't release a lot of details about this. Like, I know the guys, or they released the guy's name. I didn't write it down. It doesn't matter. But they didn't say, like, how this guy was related to the child, if it was, like, a custody thing or whatnot. Because, like, that is, like, by far the majority of, like, children being taken as just by their other parent or a family member. Like it's very relatively very little children being taken by strangers to be sold into the sex trade. Like it's not non-existent, but like relative to what most like child endangerment is, it's mostly just parents taking their kids from their other parent or what have you. But it's probably safe to assume that's what this guy did. But hey, like at the end of the day, if your whole thing is like, we got to protect the children, like you probably shouldn't be kidnapping any, like at all. You probably should be zero kidnapping.
Zero kidnappings is a prerequisite for saying things like, I want to protect children.
You lose just like a little bit of your credibility.
Even kidnapping an adult, honestly.
Yeah, you still should be doing no people napping.
Just zero trafficking of people.
I mean,
should be a requirement for you to say I am a protector of children.
Yeah, the bar isn't too high, but somehow they still cannot clear it. But yeah, you know, always good to see. I'm sure that there's a lot more pedophiles in there somewhere. There's no way there aren't. But hey, you know, that's, you heard of the sound of freedom. This is the price of freedom, I guess.
I don't know about that.
Well, you know, let's move on here. I wanted to talk about a story that I don't really understand. I didn't really look into that much, but Kennedy, you said you have some knowledge of it. This week, a bunch of former members of Lizzo's staff have filed a lawsuit against her, claiming many different kinds of harassment. Some sexual harassment. Some of it is she was like fat shaming people. I didn't really look into this, but I saw a lot of people arguing about it. And that's as much information as I've got. Kennedy, what's going on with Lizzo?
Let me fill in a little bit more information, but not too much because I don't want to violate the code of ethics of this show.
Okay.
So Lizzo and her dance captain were both named by at least three ex-dancers who have publicly come forward, but there may be more that are going to be involved before this is all said and done. There's some rumblings. There could be more. About a very toxic and kind of strange and problematic work environment. And the allegations are pretty serious in terms of the kinds of stuff that's being mentioned. Some of it's like more like run of the mill, which is not to say it's okay, but just like more normal in terms of like she would like throw temper tantrums and then make them like re-audition under like high pressure situations.
Mm-hmm.
And like stuff like that. That's just like, you really shouldn't be doing to people in like the middle of a contract.
Right.
You know,
right.
And things of that nature. And so there's just like a lot of like that kind of stuff. But then there was some pretty serious like body shaming and things going on as well. And being very hard on folks in that kind of way. And then there were some more distressing sounding incidents, including one that was mentioned in an article that I read where Lizzo like basically forced all of her staff to come with her to a strip club and then made some of them do inappropriate stuff.
Ooh.
Very gross sounding, not at all good whatsoever. Now, here is the part of the story that I find personally most interesting in terms of just trying to figure out what's going on here and is it true or not, is Lizzo hired Marty Singer as her lawyer.
Why does that name sound familiar?
Well, you might remember him as the guy who defended Bill Cosby.
No! Oh, no. Okay, I was like kind of... It's kind of on the fence. Is like maybe some of this stuff might be a little overblown, or like might be even. Okay, if you're hiring Bill Cosby's lawyer, I think that's why would you do that? Why would she hire that guy? I mean, I guess you don't know why she would do that, but that's a bad move.
He is like a Hollywood lawyer. But, you know, specifically a lot of the clients that he's had are a little bit, Jonah Hill.
What did Jonah Hill do? Is that the Jonah Hill you're willing
recently,
to die on?
Recently.
No, I know.
You know, he was accused of assault and he hired Marty Singer. He's represented quite a few people for problematic things. Dog the Bounty Hunter, when that guy said the N-word. Chris Brown.
Oh, so that's like not a great Kevin Spacey by chance. Oh no, that trial happened in England.
I think that's somebody else. But yeah, Marty Singer has, and even outside of his most distressing cases, like he represented Zooey Deschanel and like that, like money fraud case that seemed like she ripped off some people.
Whoa. I didn't even like hear about that.
He just like takes lot of very suspicious cases, but in particular, he has represented quite a few high-profile sex offenders.
Ooh. Well, I didn't know much about this story to begin with, and now that I've learned a bit more, I like it even less.
Yep.
Sorry.
But, you know, I'm going to be getting to write an opinion piece for the New York Times about this glass ceiling breaking She Too moment that we're currently having between Lizzo and Colleen Ballinger, who also hired a really sketchy lawyer. I can't remember the name of the guy that she hired, but it was like it was so funny because it was like the minute that she got in trouble, she also hired a sex assault lawyer. It's like literally like the like Prince Andrew's lawyer.
No.
Yes, literally.
You mean the lawyer who came up with the "I don't actually sweat" defense?
Yes.
Well, lots of interesting legal cases on the horizon. And, you know, I want to talk about another one here. This one actually is much more personal to me. And I'm actually a lot more worried about. I'm talking, of course, about this week, a man filed a class action lawsuit.
Oh, okay.
Against Taco Bell. Yeah. This is serious.
Wow,
okay.
This is very serious.
This could shake the foundation of our nation to its core.
This could change everything.
So this guy is suing Taco Bell because the picture of the Crunchwrap always looks better than it does whenever he gets it.
You know what though? He's kind of got a point.
Here's the thing, he does have a point, but I feel like this is just one of the things that we kind of have accepted as a society, is that the picture's always going to look better than the reality. And I mean, I guess I support that they shouldn't be able to do that, but like, I don't know, this just feels like foundational. Like this, it just, I don't think.
No,
I
you know what? I think this guy is taking a principled moral stance here.
Yeah, his main thing
now,
is like,
listen, are there bigger problems in the world that he should be using his energy and money on? Yes. 100%.
Do you think this lawsuit will be settled before the election? Because this could have some results.
Ooh, this could change. This could drastically change the election. And if you don't understand why, you got to subscribe to my 12-part webinar series. Costs $1,400.
Yeah. His main point is that, like, hey, in the pictures of the Crunchwrap, there's like all like so much beef and a whole bunch of lettuce, and then I get it, and it's just this like there's hardly anything in there, and like that makes sense. He's got a point. You're right. But
got
like,
a point.
I don't,
again, weird hill to die on, but you're right. So I guess go for it, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know.
And you know, I mean, you never know. This could be. You know, we might be a couple of years from now talking about what is this guy's name? Do we even know? I'm just going to make it up. His last name is Schmamerson. We could be in a couple of years now talking about Schmamerson versus Taco Bell 2023.
Schmamerson versus Yum Brands, I believe.
Oh, Schmamerson versus Yum Brands, the case that changed food advertising.
Yeah, now the pictures have to look like shit, too.
Here's
the thing is that the result isn't going to
be based, actually.
The result isn't going to be that the pictures look like that the food looks better. It's going to be that the pictures look worse. And
I approve of that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still going to fucking buy a Crunchwrap, even if you show me what it's really going to look like. I know what I'm getting into.
Yo, you could just basically deep fry a tortilla and fold it up with nothing in it and sell it to me. And I'd probably be like, yeah, okay.
Sounds pretty good, actually.
Yo, I got some tortilla. I'm thinking about it.
So, listeners, we will be keeping an eye and keeping up with our coverage on both of these cases as they progress through the legal system. And I want you
keeping
to know that
the Crunchdashians,
Kim Crunchdashian, what?
Yeah, the inventor of Cap'n Crunch cereal.
Okay, well, that word improved my week by like 3%. Just that one word. Hell yeah. So, okay, we've got a couple more stories here. First of all, cancel culture has struck again. This time it is in the form of light bulbs. That's right. Joe Biden has reinstituted the incandescent light bulb ban that I believe this was first signed into law under Obama, and then Trump got rid of it. Basically, like, the rule that nobody can sell light bulbs that are, like, the old style, like, incandescent bulbs. They have to be LED or some, like, high efficiency thing, which, like, from pretty much every angle, this just, like, kind of makes sense. Like, they... LED lights last so much longer and use so much less electricity. Like, there's really, it's all wins. Like, they don't look, I guess, like, some people like the color of the light from an incandescent bulb better, but, like, at the end of the day, they can probably figure out how to make the light from an LED light bulb look that way. Like, I don't think that it's impossible to change the color of an LED light. And in fact, I know it's not impossible. I know that they can do this. So, like, there really is no downside to this other than just a Democrat telling somebody that they can't do something anymore. So naturally, conservatives are melting down about this, talking about how Joe Biden's trying to come for their light bulbs and they want them to live in the dark or something. I don't know.
Okay, see, now I knew there must be something going on about this because vaguely offhand, my mom mentioned this light bulb shit. So I knew there must be some culture war memes going around about this on Facebook. Because she just falls for every conservative culture war Facebook thing now.
Of course, of course.
So I hadn't actually heard about Joe Biden reinstating the ban yet, but I knew by proxy that there must be a culture war thing going on already.
I think that the ban...
So this all adds up now.
I think that the ban got reinstated like last year, but it's just going into effect now or something like that. So I don't know, but like, just like by like the statistics of it, this is projected to save consumers about $3 billion per year and will cut carbon emissions like 220 some like megatons over the next 10 years. It's some shit. I didn't write that number down.
Christina, when we switched to LED light bulbs, it was like, we saved like $50 on our power the first month or something crazy. It was like a lot.
Holy shit.
Because light bulbs actually are a huge amount of your power usage. Like, you don't realize it, but
all those,
you know,
times
you walk out of the kitchen, you leave some lights on without thinking about it. And it's like a lot of fixtures. It's like three light bulbs or something, you know, or whatever. And it's like, that's like, a modern computer is like five light bulbs. That's just like a regular computer that you're using in your house.
That's a lot of light. It turns out, I hate to break it to you, listeners.
I'm exaggerating slightly, but I'm just saying like a lot of your other appliances are a lot more efficient. And so it's like outside of some things like your refrigerator that are just soaking up the power every month, light bulbs, actually a huge one.
Yeah, the conservative backlash to this is heating up. I saw this week that Matt Walsh is releasing a documentary called What is a Light Bulb?
Ooh.
That's not true, but that's fun. What is a light bulb?
What does it mean for a bulb to produce light? who is a real light bulb and who is... a fake light bulb coming for your daughters.
So, yeah, I don't know. Let there be light or whatever Jesus said. Let's move on. Hey, remember Elon Musk? Remember that guy? He sucks. He sucks big time.
I try not to now that I'm banned from Elon Musk's world of wonderful racist fun times.
Kennedy Cooper no longer on X. By the way, I got my, like, you know how the one every time it's your like anniversary of joining Twitter, like it gives you that automated post like to say like, oh, it's my Twitter anniversary or whatever. Well, yeah. I got one. I guess I joined Twitter in like the beginning of August 12 years ago, and it was like, oh, post now to celebrate your X anniversary. You've been on X for 12 years. I'm like, dog, no, I haven't. I have not been involved with anything called X more than, what, a week. But anyways, the reason I was talking about Elon Musk is because he posted, it's not tweeted anymore. He got rid of that word. Good for him. He posted this week
I thought it was called axing it or something. He axed
this week, offering to pay the legal fees of anyone who got canceled for liking or posting something problematic. This is a direct quote. If you are unfairly treated by your employer due to posting or liking something on this platform, we will fund your legal bill. No limit. Please let us know. End quote. There's no way. Like, why would you even say this? You're not going to do that. Why would you?
Saying shit is crazy.
One of the first people that replied was Libs of TikTok. Like, is this real? Can I get help? Like, no. In what fucking world?
Here's the thing. First of all, it's very suspicious that he does this right after he reinstates a guy for posting child porn.
Allegedly. No, never mind. That factually happened. Yeah.
Which I still can't get over the fact that the guy is like, Elon Musk gave in to the liberal Democrats' narrative about what happened. Like, you can't even make these people happy, dude. You've cultivated a fan base of the absolute worst people. You can't please them. Yeah. Although I guess some of them are such simps, which I might, while we're talking about Elon, I might also bring up another Elon item from this week. But outside of just how, like, there's like an insidiousness to him being like, I'll pay for your legal fees if you like child exploitation materials on Twitter, which is essentially, if you put those two dots together, what we get. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, my new theory is that Elon Musk bought Twitter so that when inevitably child exploitation materials are found on his personal hard drives, he can say, well, I was doing content safety review, and I must have forgotten that this was still here or some shit like that.
That is horrifying and believable.
Yeah. $44 billion is cheaper than being in jail. Fucking on top of all the evilness of it, though, Elon Musk announced this week that he would be delinquent in paying content creators. Remember those big content creator payments that were being thrown around and bragged about? Oh, I'm getting $30,000 from Elon Musk because people liked my tweets.
I did not see this.
Wrongo.
Literally the next month, he's like, I'm not paying.
He said he's not paying. He said there's a little delay. There's a little problem.
So those motherfuckers are not getting paid.
They're not coming on time for some reason.
Yeah. I saw some sex worker post, and I feel bad, but like, this isn't my place to like jump in and really like do what you're going to do. I saw her post like maybe a week or two ago, like, oh, if you subscribe to Twitter Blue, you can get paid. So I'm signing up. Okay. And it's like, you're never getting paid. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, I'm sorry. Like, you got duped, like, and publicly acknowledged your duping, but I don't know. It's wild that, like, remember whenever, as soon as Blue Check switched from being like an actual verified person to someone that pays for Twitter Blue, and then if you would click on like a celebrity's check mark, it would say this person is subscribed to Twitter Blue. Like, that seems like false advertising, like prosecutable. Like, he directly lied about The Rock paying him $8 a month to, like, that would entice people to sign up. And this is the exact same thing, like saying that anybody who subscribed to Twitter Blue would be eligible to get paid for this. It's like, that was never true, and people signed up thinking that. And like, God damn it, I know it's really hard to arrest the second or third richest person in the world for doing crimes, but like, he's blatantly doing crimes. Please try it, for fuck's sake.
Do you mean X Blue?
I don't, but I guess I do. No. But I do actually have another just a little bit of news that is very funny in regards to Twitter's premium service. I mean, X's premium X Blue. This week, they very quietly, they did not make any announcement, but users who have it figured this out. They changed it so that you can hide your blue check mark now.
The whole point.
The whole point. But he just, he knows that people are so embarrassed by the fact that they have a blue check mark that you can hide it. I think that's great. I want to see stats, and I know that they'll never release them. But so, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, the Threads, the Mark Zuckerberg alternative to Twitter, lost like 80% of its user base since launching. I want to know how many people subscribed to Twitter Blue and then canceled it within a month or two. It's got to be a lot. Like, they'll never show us that, but yeah, it's got to be a lot. And it's going to be even more people canceling it. And yeah, I thought from the beginning that Elon was like doing this self-sabotage plan to like destroy Twitter. But once he started, once he changed it to X and like started talking about how it was going to be the everything app, I'm like, I'm thinking more like, oh, you're just actually this bad at business. Like, you want this to succeed. You just have no fucking clue what you're doing. God damn.
And this is his first ever true baby in this way. Whereas PayPal, he was one of several people that, you know, had ideas, and many reports, of course, now say like he had a lot of the worst ideas, basically.
And funnily enough, those worst ideas are literally the same ones he has now. I heard it described that like basically Peter Thiel like did a coup whenever Elon was CEO of PayPal, like got all the board of directors against him while he was on an airplane and couldn't be like involved in the meeting. And then by the time he landed, they were like, yeah, you're out. Like, and somehow he's like 20 years later, like, what if I try this again? He's so stupid.
PayPal, he didn't have control over. Not really. Tesla, he bought, and he's never really had total control over, except for a little while, and then he blew it and he lost it because that whole scandal where he inflated the stocks.
Well,
and so he doesn't have total control over Tesla. He doesn't have total control over SpaceX for various reasons.
What about the Boring Company?
So we're not going to count the Boring Company because that's just a joke. Can you imagine it? Like, I work at the, there's got to be like 12 people that are on LinkedIn. Like, I work at the Boring Company.
I'll tell you, I've had a lot of jobs. I've worked at many of the boring companies before in my life. Okay. I'm doing the joke that Elon does now. God damn it.
This is the first time he's had like a baby like this. That's like a big thing that it's just him running the show. He bought it himself. And you know,
there's no checks and balances on him, really.
Yeah, there's really no checks or balances on his power. Like, the even like Linda Yaccarino, it's like the reason that she is such a yes woman for him is because he could just fire her at any moment.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like only somebody who was just going to say yes to all of his dumb ideas was going to get that job. And I don't know if you saw, but somebody changed that because she changed her handle to be from Linda YACC to Linda YAX. And somebody changed their handle to Linda YACC and scammed a bunch of people. So that's exciting. Exciting things happening on Twitter. Also, last week, Elon Musk stole the Twitter handle at X from somebody. This week he took at Music. So this guy who had at Music was just a small time creator that initially used it specifically promoting like online concerts and things, but then just like eventually morphed it into just like a bigger music account. Had 450,000 followers, and they changed his at Music Fan.
Wow. Weird so that nobody had that one, though. I looked up a Twitter handle because I thought of like a bit I could do, but I don't have the energy or the commitment to really commit to it. But instead of real Donald Trump, just replacing the L with an I, so it's like real AI Donald Trump, or just like REAI Donald Trump. And then I was like, oh, I could just do like AI generated Donald Trump tweets, which I think is a pretty fun bit. And I just never that's as far as I got with it. I was like, oh, I technically could do this. I'm not gonna.
Not gonna.
But I could. So
the worst part about that whole app music story is that the guy is mad, but he was also like, but I still support Elon Musk. And I was like, please go huff paint.
Yeah. Well, that's enough negative bullshit. We actually have some good news to end the show this week. Just a little bright spot for you. First of all, a Boston police officer went down a slide in at warp speed, and it was amazing. I'm sorry, this is just an audio platform, listeners, but if you haven't seen the Boston cop going down the slide video, it will change your life. Did you see this, Kennedy? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but this cop just tried to go down a slide and like hit Mach 5 speeds going down and got like injured on his way down. And it's incredible. People put it to music, and it's just it really will brighten your day to see a cop getting hurt. If you're anything like us, you know, there's no such thing as a good cop, but you can feel good sometimes seeing one get hurt. Are you going to look it up? Please watch the cop slide. We're doing a real-time reaction to Kennedy watching the cop on the slide video. So I want you to describe your reaction to this, if you would.
What? What happened to this guy?
How did he get to that speed?
What happened to this guy?
I feel like this is the idea. He was going so fast.
I feel like this is the plot of the next Rian Johnson movie.
From the people who brought you Glass Onion and Knives
and,
Out.
And Looper.
Comes Fast Slide. Anyways, that's not our only good news. We do actually have some more fitting audible news you can just hear. You don't have to look up a video for. And this is just kind of a heartwarming story. This week, U.S. gymnast Simone Biles finally returned to professional competition after taking almost like 2 years off. In 2021, she dropped out of the Olympics for mental health reasons. And this week, she finally returned to professional competition, and she won first place overall in the U.S. Classic. So,
hell yeah.
You know, not a whole lot to it, but that's just, you know, it's a heartwarming story.
And in soccer news, U.S. women's team skunked it.
Yes. Megan Rapinoe had the worst kick of all time. It was so bad.
To leave soccer forever.
It was so bad. Like, her reaction, she just kind of looked like she was laughing. Like, oh, I fucked that up so bad. And people were like, U.S. women's team eliminated from World Cup and will not be winning for the third time in a row. And then everybody was like, yeah, how many times have the men won at all? Ever? Never? Cool. But yeah, we love to see it. You know, you can't win them all. And if you're going to lose, probably the funniest way to do it.
Don't lose to Sweden like that, though. Come on. Come on.
Well, Kennedy, thank you for joining me today. Listeners, thank you for hanging out with us as we got through this, you know, skeleton crew episode. It's just me, Kennedy, Christina. Biscuit is outside the room. Biscuit is not allowed in here.
Gravy's in here, of course, because she's got the headphones on.
Yeah. She's smoking two cigarettes at once. She's clearly mad at me for introducing a video.
She's been loading and unloading a revolver periodically. That feels a little. Well, but you know what? I'm gonna get with Lizzo's dancers, and we're gonna sue Gravy.
Folks, if you're in Pittsburgh, please come to my show on August 23rd at Streets on Carson. Anya Vols and Nika Lamazzo are headlining a comedy show. It's going to be fucking dope. You can follow the show at Worst Week Yet and support the show by going to patreon.com/worstweekyet. As for me and Kennedy, if you don't know where to find us, well then look inside yourself, search deep into your soul, and then go to Taco Bell and cause a ruckus. Kennedy, thank you for joining me.
If you don't know where to find me, just wander around Albuquerque.
Make the right turn at Albuquerque.
And pick me up some Raising Cane's, because that place always has a long-ass line. And I want to try it, but I'm like, every time I drive past it, I'm just like, this is some bullshit.
Here's the thing. Like, the chicken's pretty good, but the sauce, that's what makes it. Like,
Okay.
As far as
I have been wondering, what is the secret here?
As far as chicken goes, like, it is better than average, but just the chicken alone, it's not like the best chicken I've ever had. It's definitely better than like Popeye strips or Wendy's chicken nuggets. The chicken is good, but it's not great. But when you factor in the sauce, damn, Raising Cane's is where it's fucking at. And they have good toast too. They give you a little piece of toast, and it's just good toast. Well, this has been a tremendous episode. Another worst week yet. Down the drain, or down what? Tune in again next week for more bad news.